Hi, my name is Lori Joyce, and I am the director of Arise, the movie, and I'm here today with Duncan Campbell for his show, Living Dialogues. And it's just been an absolute pleasure to have a dialogue with someone who is so deeply moved by our movie and our creation, and understands completely the vision that we had. So it's been an absolute pleasure and honor to be here today. Thank you so much, Duncan.
And my name is Candace Orlando, and I am the daughter of Lori Joyce and the co-director of Arise. And I second what Mom has said, but also just really been amazing sitting here and sharing stories. The film Arise is about stories. And right here, this what we've been talking about is stories. And collaboratively putting together stories can make create change and a ripple effect. So grateful for being on Living Dialogues.
And I'm Molly Ross. I'm the executive producer of Arise, sitting here with Duncan Campbell talking about Living Dialogues. And it's been a very wonderful experience. I feel very affirmed for what we have been doing. And I think what I would like to say is that, yes, we're talking about stories, but we're also talking about building a community. And a lot of the hunger around people seeing Arise is around this, that we've lost this sense of community that we've had in the world. It's a spiritual thing. It's a physical thing. It's a mental thing. It crosses all boundaries. We've lost that ability to really be in community. And this dialogue has made me feel like we're actually building community here within the radio station. So thank you so much.
Beautifully said, all three of you. I have to say, it's the same level of heart and eloquence that you've replicated in your film and all the amazing, wonderful women and men that are in your film. It's been a real privilege and honor on my part to be participating in this community. And I might end by saying that Coleman Barks anachronistically put into one of his Rumi poems the expression by Rumi of honoring this funny radio family that we are. So there is definitely the sense of communicating through the magic of radio and online MP3 and broadcast here, that we're participating in a family of all that is, all our relations. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
From time immemorial, beginning with indigenous councils and ancient wisdom traditions, through the work of Western visionaries such as Plato, Galileo, and quantum physicist David Bohm, mutually participatory dialogue has been seen as the key to evolving and transforming consciousness, evoking a flow of meaning, a dia flow of logos, meaning, beyond what any one individual can bring through alone. So join us now, as together with you, the active deep listener, we evoke and engage in Living Dialogues.
Welcome to Living Dialogues. I'm Duncan Campbell, and with me for this particular trialogue, I'm truly delighted to have three amazing women that I had the great pleasure to meet for the first time on November 11 of 2014 at E-Town in Boulder, Colorado, where there was a screening in the midst of a very big cold snap, which many of us made our way there and were amply and wonderfully rewarded by seeing their film, Arise. And you can find out about this film at arisethemovie.com. And we're going to go over a number of things about that and meet the people who made it. Lori Joyce, who is the producer, director, and writer, her daughter, Candace Orlando, the co-director, and the executive producer, Molly Ross. Lori has made a number of films. She is the director and producer, founder of Idana Films and Miss Productions, LLC. Over the last 30 years, she's produced a number of documentaries, including the Emmy-nominated, award-winning The Journey of Sacagawea,
Wonderful. And she's also the producer of the award-winning documentary Shattered Lives, a program on one community's response to domestic violence. She worked as an associate producer on the PBS Peabody Award-winning documentary Hearts and Minds, Teens and Mental Illness, as did her daughter, Candace Orlando, co-director of the Arise movie, who also is involved with the executive directorship of the Irby Culture Community Farms in Denver, Colorado. And when I say Irby, it's just because it's U-R-B-I, but it's a wonderful pun on Irby culture because it's bringing in to the people's empowerment who live in urban areas the ability to make a direct nurturing contact with their food. Molly Ross is the executive producer of the film Arise, and she's an environmental activist and philanthropist, a longtime member of Rachel's network, and a Sierra Club Foundation board member. So welcome, all three of you.
Thank you for having us.
Before I go into the part of the program where each of you I have invited to talk a little bit about your own personal lives and how you came to this amazing production of Arise, the movie, term is actually Arise, but I like to call it Arise the movie because, as you all point out, communicating these deeper truths through imagery and through film is one of the most effective ways to actually dispel the widespread ignorance and fear and despair that many people feel about our environment. And one of the things you said, Molly, that really struck me at that early part of the introduction to the film at E-Town was, we want to just tell you right up front, this is an environmental film, but it's not the kind that makes you want to slash your wrists. I thought that was a wonderful comment, and it got my attention right away, because you then said, our project here is one of genuine hope, because we're not minimizing the problems. We're looking at them, but through the lens of these amazing women around the world who have confronted the problem as a mother, if you will, that feminine aspect that the New York Times called the warrior as nurturer. And so they see it not as something to be afraid of or in despair, because actually they're children that need to be fed, the children of the earth. And so they go into the problem and they find a way to make a solution. And as you pointed out, Laurie, at one point in your Kickstarter campaign, which just began yesterday, and we'll be talking about that further, if this movie could move one person to do one thing for the environment, then it's done its job. And I can say it's done its job because it moved me not only to make the comments I made after the film, but to actually bring this program together so that you can have this for your website and we can have an opportunity to reach many, many people through this program, which is my ability to participate. And it is such a thrill because what I said after I saw the film was, this is the best environmental film I've ever seen. And I was deeply moved. And this is from me, who in 1992 met and spent a good deal of time with Wangari Maathai in the Earth Summit. She was speaking in that part of the Earth Summit, which was near the NGO center over on the beach. And I just was so struck by her eloquence and her energy that the next morning we met for breakfast and we spent a couple of hours talking about her founding of the Green Belt Movement in Kenya and how she had 3 weeks earlier been in prison being tortured by the tyrant Daniel Arap Moi because she had done something extraordinarily disruptive and revolutionary. She had created a situation where two and maybe even three women might find themselves sitting together, digging a hole and planting a tree. Now, whenever two among us get together, particularly if they're women, there could be an outpouring of disruptive love and nurturing, which actually goes counter to all of the negative policies that are creating so many problems in the world today in the environment. The ignorant and greedy consciousness of most of our institutions and policies require a response at the level of people And what I have taught here on Living Dialogues for many years is that this is an evolutionary necessity. We need to reawaken our psychic and physical DNA from our indigenosity. There is a birthright that exists already in all of us that knows that we are part of a sacred living universe and that we belong in it and it is part of us. We are all interconnected, and that somehow got pushed away in the adolescent stage, I call it, of our humanity, where we pushed away Father, Son, and Mother Earth, and that knowingness in order to emphasize our adolescent liberation through our left brain ability to make techne, technology. Techne in Greek means man-made tools. And interestingly enough, when we say man-made tools, it does have a masculine quality to it, as the feminine, we say, could be the nurturing bed of all that is, and the feminine then has to be balanced by a masculine kind of project-oriented liberation, like we say in our own constitution, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the pursuit of happiness happens when you bring both of them together. And I say we're in an adolescent crisis, and what needs to happen is a sacred marriage, meaning that our adolescent domination by the masculine and tools and our estrangement from Mother Earth is a gap that needs to be breached by women, that women need to take the lead, and they are stepping up all over the world. And that was what was so thrilling to me about this movie, is that I felt Mother Earth and I felt the caring quality of each woman that you were talking with that was like a mother. Whatever community they were in, whether it was Kenya or Brooklyn or Denver or India and so on. So without further ado, I want to say this is a most, most extraordinary film. I think it is a world game changer. Your modest film right here, you're all in Denver, but it is incredible. And the most amazing thing is that the response has been so beautiful worldwide, winning these awards at various festivals, that you are now doing a Kickstarter campaign to raise money to make a series, Arise the Series. And I'm thrilled to hear it because, you know, it's just going to be phenomenal. So the Kickstarter campaign, I'm just going to ask you just at the beginning now, just very briefly, Candace, to just tell people how they can connect with that. And then we'll come back to Lori and Molly and yourself for your personal stories. But I don't want them to miss this in case they have to go off the air. Yeah. Go ahead.
Definitely. So it, if you go to Kickstarter.com and then just search a project and it's Arise the Series. Pretty simple. So yeah, help us get this launched. It would be wonderful.
So Kickstarter.com.
Yep. Arise the Series.
Beautiful. Well, let's start, Lori Joyce, with you at this point. You have been at this kind of work very beautifully for over 30 years. Tell us a little bit about your own story personally. Maybe go back to a time in your own childhood, maybe in the single digits that you look back now and you see was a harbinger of your life work. And then tell us how you moved into the creation of Arise.
Well, that would be very easy to do. I was born in Utah and I was raised on a dairy farm. Until I was 8. And I can take this film back to, I was probably about 2 or 3, where I can remember my family would go out into the field to thin beets. And because I couldn't thin beets, I was too little, I would sit under the willow tree at the end of the field and talk to the fairies.
Beautiful.
So that connection to the earth and to the living beings, if you will, that yes. are a part of the earth, and that willow tree just nurtured me, and it was a beautiful experience. So yes, I can take it all the way back to 2 or 3 years old.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love it as a fellow Celt, because the fairy world is absolutely real.
Oh, yes.
And one of the things we talk about, like with William Butler Yeats, is that it's that time between the worlds, between the workaday world of the sun and the dream world of night, meaning dawn, and Twilight, when people can move between the worlds, and we might even look at our lives that way, that at the dawn of our life, we are children, like you are mentioning, and you can see and feel all those things, and somehow the sun of the rest of our life and activity and career and need to support ourselves comes in. And for many people, that becomes invisible then, and we lose contact. And then when you get older, such as myself, you know, you can call that back in more easily. So I just want to compliment you on that and say how wonderful that you've really brought the source of the invisible world in this intelligent cosmos into your work. So tell us now, you've done several films. This seems to be a very special film for you. Tell us how this came about.
Yes, it is a very special film. I believe that Arise, I was destined to create Arise. You know, I can give you a little bit of background on my filmmaking career. In the 80s, it was mostly peace and justice issues, and I was working with Candace's dad on those films. So it was more, you know, the nuclear issue and the war in Central America and the civil rights movement, those sorts of films. But in my heart of hearts, I truly believed that women hold a special power, and I don't mean that in a dominating way. Mm-hmm. I just mean that in a very nurturing way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can quote Starhawk. We mm-hmm. interviewed Starhawk in Arise, where she said that women have been very severed from our beings, from our history, is what she calls it, and I truly believe that. So when I can look at my career, every film that I've made has probably led me to Arise, and so in the 90s I switched my focus. Eidenhaw Films is a nonprofit, so everything that you give on Kickstarter also is tax deductible. Just throw that in real quick. When I separated from Candace's dad, I did turn my focus to more women's and children's issues, which are the films that you mentioned at the beginning of the program. But in the early 90s, I had started to create a film on feminine spirituality, the reemergence of feminine spirituality here in Boulder, Colorado, that I was living here. And it wasn't time, so I put it away. In 2005, decided to bring that film back out and ask Candace, who, as you mentioned as well, had worked with me on a couple of films, if she would help me. And, you know, her response, because I am, you know, I really did want to focus on the spiritual and mm-hmm. the women's spiritual connection to the earth, to the Mother Earth. And you know, I know that she believes that as well, but she also said to me, "Mom, I will, but we have to have some activism." So it was a great team. And you know, Arise is not that film, but it is that film. I mean, the underlining theme in Arise is everything that you talked about. It's that deep connection that we all have. No matter what tribe we're from, we're all from tribes. So we have this deep connection to the earth. It's in our DNA. It doesn't matter who we are, male, female. You know, as Winona mentions, if we have fins, roots, whatever. And so, you know, we're all in this together. And so that theme of this feminine spirit is in Arise. Although there are also ways that you can get involved, which is that activism piece. And it's a very grassroots film. So I'll let other people talk about their experience and their story.
Well, so beautifully said, Lori. It really is very interesting to see that as in your early part of your life, you and your then husband were involved in social and economic justice. And then as we grow older, perhaps sometimes the spiritual dimension gets reawakened as it did from your childhood. And you began to feel the energy and importance of that invisible spiritual field of energy as necessary for change. And then your daughter complimented that by coming in, "Mom, I love it and I'm very inspired, but I can actually introduce some new forms of activism." And it's just beautiful to see this relationship between the two of you. And so I would just want to say one other word before moving on to Candace, which is that our modern mind is so powerful and dominant at this point. Going back, as we talked after your movie, Lori, 6,000 years, the male-dominating aspect of culture around the globe, which was the subject of a program I did earlier on this year with Saffron Rossi, who has edited the works of Joseph Campbell and his interplay, particularly with Maria Gambutas, on how we need to emerge now, as I say, into a sacred marriage of a balance between the masculine and the feminine, the nurturing and the protective, and something we have to establish within ourselves and between the genders. And so one of the striking things, Molly, that I heard, and I think maybe it was Lori that said this actually, in the introduction to your movie a couple weeks ago when I saw it, was people call us and they write us and they say, why are you doing this? Why are you making a film about women and the environment? I mean, they seem like two completely different subjects. And I almost laughed out loud when I heard that, because of my own experience, knowing how untrue that is and how completely necessary it is that women are really literally at the heart of this movement. And so, Candace, let's move to your generation. You probably knew that growing up with your mother and having worked with that. This was something you saw right away, that women were going to be a real catalyst in this.
Yeah, definitely. I grew up with a very strong mother, and I grew up in filmmaking, which, you know, led me to doing this film. But I just want to point out that I also was the little girl sitting outside playing in by myself and talking to the fairies. And I was very imaginative little girl. So it just it was perfect that I segued into filmmaking, and doing it with my mom has been an amazing, powerful experience for me. I went to school actually at Naropa University and graduated at 30. It took me a while, but I finally did it. And I studied environmental studies. And one of the teachers I had there, many of the teachers, but we studied a lot of women that were doing amazing things. And those, you know, was Majora Carter, Winona LaDuke, some incredible women. And I think that that just fueled my fire of seeing that women are creating change on so many levels, and that it hasn't been fair that so many of the talking heads have been male, and that kind of the female have been left behind. And I think together we wanted to show what these women are doing and highlight their stories, because they are powerful and they are creating change.
Well, I just want to say that actually 40 years ago, I worked with the founder of Naropa, Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, one of the six students that worked with him at that point to create the university. And it's just wonderful to see what's happened to it since. It's recently had its 40th anniversary, and Vandana Shiva was a major speaker, and so was Joanna Macy and a number of other people, but leading edge women. And one thing I was very impressed by in Vandana Shiva's workshop there was the insight of a number of the students that were at this workshop, and mainly women, not exclusively, but many were women. It was an insight that was both profoundly spiritual about the nature of reality and spirit, and profoundly engaged with doing something practical, just like Vandana herself. And it was just beautiful to see that evolution in the generation, because there was a gap at one point where people were, I think, not as connected to the larger problems in the world. There was a period where I know some of the professors that I talked to felt that there was a kind of lost quality, and now it's fully engaged. It's just fantastic. And Molly, you have been engaged for so long in philanthropy and in the Sierra Club and so many things like that. I want to say you're coming to this, and the trenchant comments that you made in your introduction were so refreshing and wonderful. That just tell us about yourself and how you came to your work, and how you came to work with these wonderful women.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Colorado Springs, and I my path is similar to these guys' path. We moved when I was in third grade out to the valley in Woodman Valley, out by the Air Force Academy on land. And I was a quiet kid who was shy and very imaginative. I was an artist and I became an artist. And so my solace was in wildlife and in outdoors. I had a lot of problems with my peer group. They picked on me all the time. So I was on the back of a horse all the time out in the land. And my mother would tell you that I became an activist when I was 8 because we had to do a display at our school. And I chose what is now known as the Scar on the Mountain, the gravel pits in Colorado Springs. And actually wrote to the senator who was backing that and got a photograph of his and the letter he wrote back to me and then did a whole display on what they were then doing, which was just coring it. So there were little pieces there. But now it's this huge, huge scar when you come into Colorado Springs. So I always wanted to combine my artwork with my activism and started out through college and kind of all the way up. Wilderness and land and animals just had a very strong spiritual connection for me. I always felt very connected to what I saw around me and what I experienced, being out in the trees, being crossing the streams, watching my horse flick his ears and looking up to see a little tiny owl on the fence post that I would have missed if I hadn't been on him. So I always had a real high sensitivity to that. And how I came to these guys, I met and became friends with a scientist here in Boulder named Bob Simmons, who's a theoretical physicist, and he's a futurist. So that is a group of scientists and business leaders who are looking to the seventh generation in change. And he started working with me on a nonprofit that we co-founded, and then working with me subsequently to kind of expand where my life was going. And he started talking to me 25 years ago about this change that I guess now they're calling the emergence that's taking place on the planet and the tenets of this massive change where we're going from essentially a patriarchy power structure to an integrated, more balanced structure in the world. And one of the real tenets of that is the rise of women and the balancing of the genders. So I met Lori through another mutual friend of mine. She was in a women's group, and I guess they were just talking about what they were doing in a women's group. And Paula said, well, I know only one person interested in environment, and that's Molly Ross, so here's her number. And Lori called me and told me what the film was about, and my response is, internally was, well, isn't that interesting? That's really not a coincidence, because I don't believe in coincidences. So I started working with them almost immediately, and we're like I feel like a sister to Candace or a sister to Lori or something like that. We feel like we're really a threesome. And so I added my own pieces too. They allowed me to do some of the creativity thinking and bring in some folks like Dr. Theo Colburn and Maggie Fox and people that I knew personally, and then look at the balance of the age of activism. So it's been absolutely wonderful. It's been just a real joy. We're really looking forward to doing the series.
Okay. Wonderful, Molly. Well, gee, so beautifully said as well. And the three of you, I see you across from me, it really is such an archetype, you know, the triad of women. It goes back in so many mythologies and in so many representations in art. And in particular, Molly, I want to acknowledge that one of the things that makes this film very special is not only the quality with which it is filmed, which I think is extraordinary, but also the interjection of art and poetry and music. And it's just amazing, some of the artists that you have, including the musicians that are woven in here very naturally. And I love that you talk about the intergenerational aspect of it. It's to me, all of these are themes that we've been talking about in Living Dialogues here for over 20 years, and it's just balm to the soul to see the extraordinary way in which you've put this forward in this movie. I found it deeply, deeply moving, as well as a thing of great beauty. And that's what the Earth is. Mother Earth is deeply moving, awesome, and a thing of great beauty. And to see women interacting with it in that very natural, nurturing way also brought to my mind the great statement from C.G. Jung, who said that all transformation must pass through the body of the feminine. And so here it is. And that balance is now coming back into being. In fact, another thing from Jung that I mention here is that in his great book, Answer to Job,
written in 1954, he said that it is time now that the great archetype of the feminine come back into, and this is my languaging of it, equal iconic manifestation with that of the masculine. And he pointed out that our Christian religion, very heavily weighted toward the paternal God and Jesus the Son, and Mary is, in a sense, a kind of adjunct figure, intercessionary, but doesn't have the direct power. And he said the greatest thing for all the damage that your church has done over the years in Western culture was at that point the declaration of the Assumption of Mary by the Catholic Church, meaning there was a recognition of this emerging equality that's now being established and balance between the masculine and feminine. And I see it happening in such a wondrous way in this film. So let's talk very briefly now about some of the people. You mentioned Starhawk, you mentioned Vandana Shiva, you mentioned Winona LaDuke, all of whom have been on this program. And there are other people. So why don't you just, we've got a short time here left, any one of you, and maybe each one of you, talk about an experience you had making the movie, perhaps with a particular person or project that really deeply moved and transformed you.
Well, okay. I'll start.
This is Candace.
So we went to Ecuador, and we interviewed a woman named Monica Chushi, and she's an activist there who is protecting her home, the rainforest, from deforestation and oil fields. But one of the things that hit me when I was there is we were in the fields with the indigenous Quechuan people there, and it was their first harvest of the season, and we went out and started harvesting beans and peas, and I fell to my knees at that point. They were drumming and dancing and honoring the Mother Earth as they were harvesting, and I fell to my knees and I said, I want to grow food for people. And I came back, and that's when I started Herbiculture Community Farms and started growing food for people in Denver. So this film has even inspired me to go and create change. So I just wanted to share that story.
Beautiful.
Well, I would have to say that, you know, there were many, many experiences that deeply moved me while we were out in the field and filming, and also in the editing room, just watching it all come together the way that it did. It was almost as if there was a power greater than ourselves at work. But, you know, I was most moved in Kenya when we were talking with the women that were so inspired by Wangari Maathai. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they met us at the band dancing and singing. And Judy Camaro, who is the woman that we ended up interviewing because Wangari was so ill, mm-hmm. Was just incredible. I was in tears as I was interviewing her. So that's just one of very many stories that affected me.
And that await all of us in this beautiful film. Mm-hmm. Laurie, thank you very much for that. And Molly, as we conclude, a story from yourself.
Well, I wasn't involved in a lot of the filming, mm-hmm. but I know Theo Coburn personally, and I have been over there to Paonia since then and done another interview with her that we did with Link TV, and I helped them film that. So I think just the inspiration of her being as old as she is and having started going back to college at age 51 and literally becoming a modern-day Rachel Carson with endocrine disruptor chemicals has just been... I was writing a note to her last night, actually, mm-hmm. Talking to her about how much she inspired me with her work and how her tenacious and perseverance she went through and her devotion. And there's a lot of devotion with these women, all of them.
Devotion, I think, is the word for it, yes. And she was extraordinary in the film that she's offering with her own perseverance and research and curiosity at her age now, the information that we need about fracking, for instance, because there have been these surface studies of fracking that say, oh, it's all fine, it's just nothing more than what you've got in under the sink in your household. And she, of course, proves that that's radically misrepresentative of the reality, which brings us in conclusion here to the great issue of climate change, which was recently discussed in Yes Magazine by Naomi Klein, whose new book entitled This Changes Everything, Capitalism versus the Climate, goes right to the heart of the role of women in bringing this awareness to not only their children, but to the general public. You mentioned, Candace, the fact that oftentimes you have the talking heads that are male, but unfortunately many of them, unlike we here on Living Dialogues, are actually disconnected and clueless. And so they actually put out, willfully or not, a lot of misinformation and do not inspire. And as you point out, Molly, sometimes these reports are just so objective, but yet they're creating doom and gloom and a sense of disempowerment, which is very damaging to the society in general. So I'm going to conclude with a comment that Naomi Klein made in her Yes Magazine interview with Sarah Von Gelder, an old friend for many years there in Bainbridge Island. She said, "It has been deeply inspiring to me, the most inspiring thing for me, watching this new generation of women leaders come up with great confidence and humility and eloquence and just love. They're driven by love and they're fierce." Right on. Yes. So with a great celebratory acknowledgement here to all of you, I just want to let people know I've been with Lori Joyce, the director of the film Arise, and her daughter, Candace Orlando, co-director, and with Molly Ross, who has been the executive producer with many other connections to other environmental aspects. So you can see this movie. If you go to arisethemovie.com, there are instructions there on how to get involved, how to do a screening, and also how to get involved with the many amazing projects that are described by these truly amazing women. So I can only say, in conclusion, it's been amazing and literally wonderful. So thank you all so much.
Thank you.
And we invite you very warmly to tune in next week here on Living Dialogues.